Hello, listeners. Jordan here. I just want to let you know that you can listen to Nighttime early and ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You are tuned to the Nighttime Podcast, focused on the fringe of Canada.
Hello, listeners. I got something special for you in this episode. Well, at least it's very special to me. I invited my best friend Randy to join me in a discussion and give a bit of an update about the first story I've covered here on Nighttime. In fact, Nighttime originally began as a venue to share this story. But then I kept making episodes and 5 or 6 years passed and here we are. So if you're new to the show, this story may be new to you as the original episodes have long since been removed from the feed. But I've often wanted to find a way to represent the story, and that's what's about to happen. So let's get into it. Tonight, in this episode of Nighttime, my pal Randy and I will be discussing my grandparents' UFO sighting and my investigation into it. Randy Stonewall, you're back for another one, and this is a perfect one for you because it's a local story.
It's a local story. And some familiar folks involved as well.
Yeah. For people who are longtime listeners of the show, this isn't a new story because this story was the first story I ever covered on the show, but it was also like in a roundabout way, I started this show so I would have a place to share this story.
The story. Yeah, I remember.
I guess let's talk about the people involved first. This story centers around my grandparents.
Yes.
Affectionately known as Nani Teresa and Papa Eddie.
Papa Eddie, yeah.
I think you've met them both multiple times.
Oh, lots of times growing up. And even when I lived in Toronto, I would actually go visit your mom when she lived there quite a bit. And they would be in town, you know, sometimes. So, you know, the grandparents, right? I remember one Thanksgiving that was the case.
Yeah. Like understanding to this story, I often, when people ask me about it or when I talk about it, I often say, like, you really need to understand Nani Teresa and Papa Eddie to understand the story because their personalities are such an important part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you it this way, is my whole life, there's always been this story that would come up, but never be discussed. And the story was that my grandfather and grandmother in 1986 had an encounter with a UFO.
UFO?
And the way it would come up is, I don't know, there would be an ad on TV for like an upcoming movie, like Independence Day in theaters. My grandfather would be like, I saw one of those things in 1986. And my grandmother would be like, shut up, Eddie. No one wants to hear about that. And that's like as far as it would go. Then, you know, and then, I don't know, the TV show X-Files got big. So people would be like, didn't you see a UFO, Papa? And he'd be like, I did. And the astronomers wouldn't take me seriously. And my grandmother would say, shut up, Eddie. No one wants to hear about it. And that was really as far as it went. But here's the important part to know is that my grandfather is like, you could say he's a nut and you wouldn't be way off. If a UFO piloted by an alien came down to Earth, showing themselves to someone like Papa Eddie would be a real safe bet because crazy stuff forever happens to Papa Eddie. He has when he was a kid, across the street was another young boy. Him and my papa became good friends, of course, growing up. And that boy's parents at the time when my grandfather was growing up, they worked on Oak Island as treasure hunters. Their last name is Chapel. And they often come up on the TV show, The Curse of Oak Island. My grandfather's like good friend's dad would like spend the summers on Oak Island doing treasure hunting. Throughout life, my grandfather forever talked about Oak Island. Same thing goes with, like, you know, spies and satellites, and he was just into like all that weird kind of stuff. He had I remember in his car he had like you know, most people have a radio, an AM FM radio. My grandfather had all these other ones. He had like a shortwave and a CB radio, and we would be like driving around Sydney and he would just pick up the CB radio, which was like, I don't know, like a chat line before the internet. And he could just call people on it. And they all use code names and code words and stuff to chat. So that was like,
yeah, like a ham radio.
Yeah. He had a ham. I think a CB and a ham, maybe two different things, but he,
oh my God.
He had all that in his car. He collected, like, I think when he grew up, his family owned a scrapyard. So he was really into scrap metals. He would go, my dad worked shift work, so I was often left with my grandparents. And me and my grandfather, Pavetti, we'd just roam around Sydney with his dog. And he knew everybody in Sydney. He'd stop at every store and chat with the people. But as we were walking, he kind of taught me to always look at the curb. So as we walked, we looked at the curb for anything, a coin, a bill, or a little piece of metal. And whatever he found, he picked it up because he could identify the metals. He'd be like, oh, yeah, there's a bit of copper on this. He'd put it in his pocket. And, oh, this is, you know, this kind of thing. And he'd put it in his pocket. And then when he got home in his basement, he had like all these piles of different metals that he'd squish them down and melt them down and sell them. And I don't know. Anyway, that was the kind of guy he was. If you're talking about someone experiencing some far out thing, he wouldn't be the most believable guy. My grandmother, however, Nani Teresa, is the most down to earth person you could ever meet. If she said something happened, you would never question it. She would never exaggerate where my granddad like only exaggerates. She would never be dishonest. All she cares about is like doing the right thing for her family. Where my granddad is, you know, he believes that the Challenger spaceship was shot down by aliens and it's a cover up and, you know, like that sort of thing.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So anyway,
that's not.
Yeah. So throughout history, as this, as this story in my family, it was brought up, but never really told in completion. No one in my family cared enough. I don't think to like sit Papa down and be like, you know, this is an important story. Tell us what happened. They would just say like, whatever. Now you cut ahead into the future. I don't know, 20 years to, I don't know, a year before I launched my podcast. So about 2015, Mrs. Nighttime and I, whenever we would go home to Cape Breton, we would stop at Nani and Puppy's every time for like supper. My grandmother's a great cook. So she'd make like spaghetti or pasta or something. She was a nutritionist before she retired. So she like, it's just, yeah, she's an amazing cook, cooking stuff from scratch.
Yes. Yeah. I've had her meatball soup. Or ravioli?
Meatball soup is like her specialty. She kind of invented it using like leftover spaghetti sauce and meatballs. And it's a kind of soup using broth, spaghetti sauce, then meatballs and chopped up noodles. Delicious. But her meatballs are the best meatballs to this day.
I think I could give her a run for her money.
I don't think so. I don't even think it wouldn't even be close.
Oh, come on. Stop.
Come up to Halifax sometime because she lives in Halifax now at a senior's home here. And she would love to show you what's up when it comes to meatballs.
We can have a kitchen cook-off, a throwdown.
We'll do it.
And we can put it on the show.
She would love to be involved in that.
Okay.
So here's what happens is Mrs. Nighttime and I, whenever we go home to Sydney, we make a point to at least once go to see Nanny and Poppy and have supper. And Papa, I say loved, I probably didn't say this yet. My granddad passed away 2 years ago.
Yeah.
God rest his soul. But we'll get into that. But he, Papa, like he loved to tell stories and talk to people. So whenever we would go for supper, you know, I'd sit and chat with him for a while, but then inevitably, like he would end up sitting next to my wife and just talk her ear off, and she would be too polite to like get up and walk away. She'd just sit there, and he would tell her every time we would go for supper over the period of 7 or 8 years that she was involved with him, he would tell her the same, like, say, four stories, is being generous. And I would be like in the other room talking to my grandmother, who's completely coherent. So you can sit and chat with her just like you and I are chatting. My granddad, and then I'd just be like, look in at my wife. You'd see her, like, she'd just straight up be on her phone, like, doing on something as Papa's yeah. like, the treasure's not in Oak Island. They moved it to Cape Breton. And then that was always one of his stories. Another one was, when Jordan was born, I told his parents they should name him Napoleon.
Oh, my God.
And then that would be a story. And then, yeah, so anyway.
I remember one time going to visit him, and he came up from like the down from your bait from the basement of his house. We were talking to your grandmother in the kitchen, and he came out of nowhere, and he's like, he goes up to you and he's like, this guy right here, and he points at you and he's like, he's gonna shave his head. I'm like, what? Do you remember that, Jordan?
Yeah, I do. He would say, he had like these few things that he would always say, but he loved. What was weird is, like, as he got older, and he didn't have Alzheimer's, but he just got kind of wacky, but yeah. he always had a sense of humor, and you could mess with him. Like, I'd call him
yeah.
and he could hardly even hear me, because it's like, am I hearing aid and this and that. And I could just screw with him on the phone, and I would yeah. call him, and what I would say is something like, something great happened, puppy. I just had the opportunity to invest in the search in Oak Island. I'm giving them $5,000, and if they find something, they're going to give me like my money back. And he would get like all bent out of shape about like, you're wasting your money. That happened a lot. Then eventually he'd realize I was joking, and it's like, you could kind of mess with him even though he was like out of it. But yeah. anyway, so let's go. Let's get back in time to 2015-ish before I launched the show.
Yep.
We're at supper at my granddad's. My oldest son was like 2 at the time, so he was there. So it's like me and my grandmother and my baby in the kitchen, yep. like talking like the adults, because puppy can't be involved in like the adult conversation. And nope. my wife, Mrs. Nighttime, and Papa are like on the couch, probably talking about Oak Island or something. Anyway, we do our thing, we have supper, we leave, and on the drive home, my wife is like, every time I've been with your granddad, he told me the same like 4 stories. But tonight he told me like a new story that's completely crazy. And I was like, what story did he tell you? Apparently him and your grandmother saw a UFO and it like messed with their car. And I was like shocked, because no one had ever heard the story. I'm like, wait, what did he say about it? And she's like, oh, he told me the whole story. Like, he was going on and on and on and on about it. And I've always been interested in the story, but whenever I asked him, he would always tell me, like, your grandmother doesn't want me talking about it, or something like, I'll tell you later, you know. So I didn't really pry, but this is the first time, like, anyone got the whole story. So I told her, I was like, tell me what happened. Like, what was the story? And she's like, oh, I wasn't really listening. So I made it a point where, like, tomorrow, we were in town for like 3 days or something. So I'm like, I'm going back tomorrow and I'm going to find a way to get this story out of him. So I was all fired up. So the next day, the next day I went back to his house, and normally I wouldn't go see them twice, but I went with like the mission to do this, and we're having supper, and, I was telling him, I sat on the couch with him, and I'm like, oh, puppy, I just made up this story. I'm like, I've been reading a book about the Shag Harbor UFO event in, you know, Shag Harbor, Nova Scotia. Do you know that story? And he's like, yeah, yeah. A lot of people say they saw something, but very few saw something up close the way I did. And yeah. I was like, Papa, like, why don't you tell me the story? I'd love to talk to you about it. You've never told me the story. And I think what he said was, I'll tell you after supper. So I was like, all right, cool. Actually, here's a little thing is, when I was trying to get the story out of him, I had my phone and I was recording, being like, if he tells the story, I'm going to try to record it. I wasn't thinking podcast. I was thinking like, I'm going to play it for like my brother or something.
Yeah.
And I saved the little part where he promised to tell me after supper.
So why don't you tell me the story, puppy?
I'll tell you after supper.
Okay.
After supper. So we do supper. We eat leftovers from the night before. I wasn't giving up on it. I remember two things happened that were important. One is he tells me the story, but before that, we're in the living room after eating supper. I think I'm having tea, and he starts to tell me the story. I asked him, like, tell Papa, tell me the story. And he's like, it was 1986. We're doing this, doing that. And my grandmother walks in the room and she's like, you're not telling that story, are you, Eddie? And I think I stopped her. I was like, Nani, like, let him tell me the story. I want to hear the story. And my papa said, I wish I had this part recorded. My papa said, she was with me and she got the scare of her life. And my grandmother is like, yeah. And I don't like you talking about it around me. And so like that told me, like, my grandmother, like, just there admitted it happened by saying that. Yeah. And I was so like, oh my God, like, I got to get this story. Cause I don't think I ever knew she saw, I've never heard her say anything other than don't talk about it. So after that moment, I'm like, Papa, you got to tell me the story. And he said, come down in the room and I'll tell you the story. Cause he didn't want her to hear the story. So, and my granddad, he's not like jumping up off the couch and walking down the hall. It's like an ordeal to get him down the hall. He had a walker and a cane at this point. So we get him down the hall. He sits on the corner of his bed and I said, Papa, and actually, no, I didn't say this. What he said to me is like, actually, I should back up, because one other thing he loved when I would do is I would just show him my phone and I would show him like the world clock where you can see the time in all the different cities. And I would show him, he would get me to Google things, mainly his phone number. He'd be like, put my name in that thing. And so I'd go to like Canada 411 and like find his name and address. And I'd be like, see, or he'd get me to like, you know, search General Washington of the War of 1812, this sort of thing. And I'd find Wikipedia entries for him. But anyway, my granddad said, I want you to record me with the phone there. And when you get back to Halifax, I want you to take it to the library, the recording. And he wanted me to, I think he wanted me to play it for someone who worked at the library to see if they could help figure out what happened. So that was a part of the reason this is recorded. So I'm like, all right, Papa, tell the story and I'll record it. I think it's been a while since you heard this, Scott. And if tears are running down my face, it's because I love my granddad very much. And it makes me sad sometimes, but let's go for it.
Well, we're traveling Northern Cape Breton. I was traveling to a friend of mine that died approximately a little after 7 o'clock on January the 26th, 1986. I was diving up a place called Monroe's Point. It's a high level, sort of a half-sized mountain. And all of a sudden, I saw this thing coming through the sky, and it hovered right above my car. I had a fairly new car, and it stalled my engine. I looked up, and it was a big disc, round disc. It was tremendous, maybe 20 or 30 feet in diameter. And it stood over above the car, and it lit up all English town. I was confounded, you know. My wife got the fight of her life, and this thing hovered right above the car. And then away it went south. But it lit up the St. Anne's Bay. I could make out the houses over in English town. And it was right above the water. And the English town is on the Cabot Trail. But I was on the west side of the Cabot Trail. But I was going to a wake, and I wouldn't dare say anything at the wake, because a lot of them Scots people, they're very superstitious. Uh-huh. And they might think I was off my rocker. So when I got back to Sydney, I called the CBC. And I gave them the story on it. And I called Search and Rescue. And they told me, whatever you think it was, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. In other words, they didn't want to admit that UFOs were in the area. But at the time, in 1986, there was a lot of sightings of UFOs. And now, I don't know if this is a fact or not, whether it's real or not, but somebody was telling me that the Challenger at that time, a UFO struck the Challenger. That's what caused the Challenger to explode. Now, I'm not sure it's a fact. I can only say, hearsay. And there was different sightings of UFOs. But I never believed in that kind of stuff. But I knew, they were shooting for the stars and different things and the astronomers. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to a science professor in Nova Scotia. He says it was probably a fireball. Well, I don't think a fireball stops in midair. It doesn't stop. You know, it's a streak in the sky, and that, and it's unreal that a fireball will stop. But this UFO had to be powered for it to stop. It had to be something that was probably atomic motorized or something. It had to be.
Interesting.
To hover above my car. I've been on that road 100 times, say, mm-hmm. over the years. I never had a problem on that road, winter and summer. I used to go northern Cape Breton 2 or 3 times a month. Mm-hmm. I was in the trucking business.
Okay.
But it's something that once in a lifetime you would see. A lot of people in the other parts of Canada, the United States, they've seen UFOs. But I don't think they came that close. It's once in a lifetime experience, and it was a very, very highly dangerous experience too.
Exactly right. Do you feel lucky for having seen it?
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. Thanks for sharing that with me, Puppy.
All right, thank you very much.
I didn't say this, but when I did that recording, I think he was like 88, 89. Like he is old, but he, when he tells the story, he was right to it. So passionate telling, he was pumped to be telling the story. And, so we won't get into yet what we think it was or what it may have been, but I'll tell you what I did is I told him, I said, Papa, I'm going to take this recording back to Halifax and I'll see what I can figure out for you. And he's like, yes, they told me it was a fireball and I don't believe them. So what I did, I got back to Halifax, and still at this point, I didn't have Nighttime Podcast, and that's not what I was looking to do. What I was going to do was I'm going to take your recording, the recording that you just heard, and I'm going to go through it and get every fact or detail so I can try to figure out, is the story even legit? Like, does it add
26.
Up? And if so, what could it have been? So I went through and I saw things like he said the date. I don't remember, January 21st, 86, I think is what he said. Whatever the date was, he gave me the date. Mm-hmm. He told me the location. He said, I'm going to a friend's wake in Inganish. Like he told me, it's not in the recording, but he even gave me the friend's name.
Yeah.
I had asked him, I didn't include it in what I just played there, but I asked him some follow-up questions. Like, do you remember like what the sky was like? What did you see? And he gave me all the specific details of everything that he could remember. So I was like, all right, I know the date, where he was going. A wake should have been happening in Inganish. This is what he thought the weather was like. You know, this is what direction he would have been looking, because he describes it like where he saw it. Monroe's Point is, if you've ever gone to the highlands of Cape Breton, the way it works is the road is often, there's a cliffside next to it with a body of water down below, Bay St. Anne, I think it's called. So where Monroe's Point is, Puppy would have been high up off the water on a highway with a cliff leading down to the bay. On the other side of the water is Englishtown, which is like a small town. So Puppy described, like, I'm going here, it came above me, stopped my car. It passed over the water and then went up over Englishtown and lit up Englishtown as it was leaving. So I knew what direction this thing would have been traveling and roughly when. So anyway, I got to Halifax and I'm like, how do I research stuff from back then? Sure. The easiest one was going to be the wake. So I'm like, if I can get into old newspapers, I can find an obituary for his friend, and an obituary is going to say the wake. So I went to the public archives, which is a spot in Halifax that archives old newspapers and documents.
Oh, wow.
I went through the Cape Breton Post for like the you know, 4 or 5 days or a week or whatever before, just trying to find the obituary for this guy. Sure enough, I found it. Checked though, just sure. like Papa said, the obituary yep. was like, not the obituary, the wake was the night, like it was like an evening obituary, an evening wake at like, was it like 8 o'clock or something? I'm bag on the details yeah. now because this was 5 years ago I did this. But right, like it was right where and when Papa said. I looked up the weather data. You can find online old weather data. It was exactly how he said, where he described yeah. being in Monroe's Point. And he described like the way it looked right. going over the water and over Englishtown. I went on Google Maps and I looked at when you're in Monroe's Point, what's your view like from the road?
No.
And it was like exactly the way he described it. And Monroe's Point is... I couldn't even find where that is because it's not even, it's yeah. not like a town or anything. It like, it may have been back when Papa used to be, like a delivery driver for trucks, like in like the '40s or something. So maybe it was back then, but it's like on Google Maps, it, Monroe's Point, like it wasn't even there. But then when I found out where it should be and dropped my cursor there and looked around on Google Maps, it's exactly how he described it. Like, and yeah. what I was doing is as I was researching it, I was calling him just to have something to talk to him about other than Oak Island. I'd call him and just talk to him about my research and I would like kind of confirm details and ask follow-up questions.
Yeah.
And every single sure. time he talked about it, it was the exact same story.
No
BS.
This date,
I saw it this way. And his story was completely solid. Every single time. So anyway, there was no BS. It was, it checked out and it was factual as far as the details. So what I was thinking is like, it was getting really interesting because it was all checking out. And I was like, man, I gotta like, where do I go with this next? So I ended up, I had a book called Maritime UFO Files and it's stories of UFO sightings across the Maritimes where I live. I bought the book at a used bookstore and I'm like, I'm going to go through some sightings like from that era, like around 86 to see if there's anything similar. And I was just, you know, just to, I like, I'm even more into UFOs now than I was then, but I was just trying to find out like, was there anything else going on around that time? I didn't really yeah. find any other yeah. sightings that matched, but yeah. the front yep. page of this book was like, you know, where they would say like, you know, to my daughter, you know, that's okay. like the author would do something like that. In this case, the author sure. said like, if you want to discuss sightings or if you've had a sighting, you can contact me at, and he had his email yeah. address. So I'm like, hey, what the hell? I'm going to email this guy. So I emailed him and told him what I was doing. And I was like, I'd love some help, you know, just trying to figure out what my grandparents may have seen. And this guy writes me back. His name is Don Ledger. He's now a friend of mine. But he's like, I'll yeah. come over. I'll bring, you know, give me the dates. I'll bring all the maps of what would have been in satellites at the time that were in the sky. And this guy is a retired pilot. So he had all these maps yeah. of where planes would have been traveling that night. So he came over to my house and he's like a well-known UFO researcher in Canada. He's one of the main guys for Shag Harbor. But he came over with all this map data. And I was like, when he was coming to my house, I'm thinking like this UFO guy is going to show right. up with like these hokey, like electronics. And mm-hmm. he's going to like, I don't know, read my thumbprint or something. Like just, I was thinking it was going to be crazy, but he was actually very logical and reasonable
yeah.
and kind of scientific. He's like, I could find no planes that it could have been mistaken for or anything. And he's like, yeah, I think if I was still actively researching, this would be a case I'd be interested in. But his thing was like, so much time has passed that, you know, what really can you do? So as this was happening, I'm thinking like, maybe I could make like
uh-huh.
a video and put it on YouTube or something, like a short documentary. But I'm not good at video stuff. I was like, I'd probably do better if I just did audio. Because of course I had a bit of a background in music and stuff. So it's like, I could probably do it in audio, but what could I do yeah. with the audio? And I was like, maybe I could record yeah. something and connect with some other podcast and maybe they would air yeah. it as an episode or something. But it's so personal because it's my grandparents. I don't want to just like give it away. And I was like, to hell with it. I'm just going to launch a podcast just to put out this story. Yeah. And that was how I did my first episode of, and I called it the Nighttime Podcast because I was doing this work with my researching the event and stuff in the nighttime. So I literally like sat down on with a keyboard, made a little bit of music.
Yes.
And told the story of researching my granddad's sighting. That was my first episode. It's no longer available on my feed now because it's very rough compared to what I do now. But at the time, podcasts were rougher, so it wasn't as big of a deal. Yeah, and not true. Many people in Canada even had podcasts. So CBC did a story about it, and it just it took off right away. I released that episode and I had like, I don't know, within a couple of days, I had like 5 or 10,000 downloads, which for a new podcast is like a really, like you're hit the ground running if you got that. But what it did was it made my granddad really happy to have the story out there. But here's where it really gets interesting. Talking about it. Everyone in my family was like listening and hearing the story now, and they were interested. So they were asking him about it, and he was loving that. But it was like forcing my grandmother to talk about it. And that's when it really got interesting, because still Papa, it's like, I don't know, is he exaggerating? A big light above his car, what it could be? My grandmother, when she started to like, I would say, Nani, did you read... the thing in the newspaper, because her local newspaper, the Cape Breton Post, had a big story. I was like, Nani, did you read the newspaper? You're in there.
And yeah.
She was like, oh, I hope people don't think we're crazy.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, and I was thinking like, I want to get my Nani to tell me the story. Maybe I can do a follow-up episode. And it worked. So that ended up being like the second or third episode of my podcast was the follow-up of my Nani. But this one, I'll play this for you as well. But this is, so the context of this is Papa told the story. I released my episode. The newspaper in Cape Breton covered it. My granddad bought a whole bunch of copies of the newspaper, and he was walking around the seniors' home they lived in, because they lived together in a seniors' home. And he was given his newspaper, being like,
amazing.
I saw a UFO and it's in there, you know. So in his photo, I think it was a photo of him and her on like the second or third page or something. I have it in my closet somewhere, but it was out there. My grandmother had to face it. And the way I got the story out of her, I was just talking to her about something else. And I was like, you should tell me the story, Nani. Like we can do I'll put you on my podcast. And she would, you know, she always find a reason not to do it. And then one day she was on the phone with me, like, again, like 2 weeks after I released the episode, and the call or the recording I'll play starts with us like getting off the phone, like she's saying goodbye. And then I'm like, just tell me the story, Nani. And she goes on and tells. And what's interesting about her account is it's more like, again, she's talking about the psychological effect rather than the physical effect, where Papa describes like this disc shaped ball of light comes above the car, stalls the engine. You know, I'm looking up at the light, and you know, my car wouldn't start. Nani is talking not so much about what she saw and what happened with the car. She's talking about how she felt, which is a cool contrast to Papa's story. Here's how Nani Teresa describes it. I love this recording.
Yeah. Okay, dear.
Yeah.
It was nice to talk to you.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I wanted to, if you had time soon, I wanted to ask you about the UFO thing. I was, I've had a lot of people ask me to get your side of the story. I was hoping you would talk to me about it.
Yeah. Well, I was there with him. I mean, I've seen it. Just that I didn't know what the heck it was. Yeah. To me, it was something really, really frightening.
Do you have like 3 minutes now to tell me?
I'm telling you now.
Okay. Puppy had told me his story. Could you just tell me in your words what had happened?
Well, like he said, we were out for a drive. We were going to a wake. Now, all of a sudden there, we saw this, I don't know how to describe it really. It's just this thing came over the water, and then I was terrified. I didn't know if it was a war coming over, something dropping from the sky, what in the world it was. It was frightening.
And Puppy said it made the car stop. How did that happen?
Yeah, the car stalled. It just stopped. You know, I didn't know what happened. It just stopped like that, out of the blue. No, I know it sounds foolish. And like afterwards when he was talking about it, I was like, oh my God, don't let people hear you because they'll think we're nuts for sure. You know, seeing the UFO or whatever they want to call it. But really, I was terrified. I didn't know what it was that just came over there. And, you know, and then being on a concrete road, that didn't help it any. And going to a wake besides.
When the car stopped and the thing was hovering above you, Puppy said it just flew off and you were able to start the car. Is that how it happened?
Yes, it just, you know, it just went. It just went. I can't really describe something like that. All I know, it was a very frightening thing to me. I didn't know what was happening. But when we got there, he didn't say a word because I told him, you know, I said, for heaven's sake, don't go saying this to people. You know, because who would believe you at that time, especially? Maybe now they might believe something like that, but at that time, no. You kept it to yourself because they call you nuts.
Mm-hmm. And he talks about it from time to time, and you often tell him not to talk about it.
That's right. I always told him that. I said, you better forget that. We don't know what it was. But you still don't know what it was. I don't know. It did happen. Saw it with my own eyes. But I can't tell you what it was. I was just too scared.
And I can hear it now. You're still a little nervous that it happened.
Sure, I wouldn't want to see that again, Jordan. Nobody would. That's a frightening thing.
Yeah, the way you're describing it is very typical. We're often where people see something like this, they're embarrassed or they don't want to tell anybody because it's...
No, I never wanted him to say a word about it because... you know, at that time, Jordan, they look at you and say, oh, you know, to themselves, they say, oh, sure, you saw something, yeah. So this is why, like, I never said that to anybody. I don't think I even told her Joanne. She was surprised when she heard it.
And most people in the family don't know the story.
Yeah, because, you know, I wouldn't say nothing about that, no. But we did see something, definitely. I mean, not lying there, that's for sure. It was something, but like I said, I have no idea what in the world that was. It was something very frightening.
No, but it's a unique thing to have seen, so it's an interesting thing to talk about.
Well, at that time, I didn't even want to think about it anymore, Jordan. You know, I was actually scared. I got to admit the truth. I was scared because I didn't know if the heavens were blown up on us. What it was. You know, I'm sure if you went and encountered something like that, you'd be scared too, Jordan.
Yeah, you're darn right I would be.
You would be. You can't help it. Yeah, no, we had no idea what it was. It was just a frightening thing. Oh my God, that's so many years ago now. Oh God, it was back in the 80s.
Yeah, or just about 30 years ago. So yeah, that's a long time ago.
But you see, you don't forget something like that.
No, I can tell. I can hear in your voice. No. Normally, you don't sound this worked up when you talk.
Yeah, no. I would want to see it again. No.
Well, you don't have to talk about it anymore. I appreciate you telling me the story, Nanny.
Oh, you're welcome, dear. We should have told you this years ago.
Well, I'm glad I heard the story now. It's settled.
Yeah.
It's done. Everybody now the family knows, and it's settled, and we don't have to talk about it anymore.
Yeah. No, we kept quiet about it because, you know, like I said, it's not something that you want to broadcast if they say you're crazy. But it happened. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
okay. Well,
I should let you go.
Okay, well, thanks for talking to me, Nanny. I love you.
I love you too, dear. Take care now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Sorry to interrupt the episode like this, but I want to take a moment and tell you about something I just posted to the Nighttime Premium feed. But for those of you unfamiliar, let me start by telling you that there is in fact a separate and much better feed than the one you're listening to right now. It's available exclusively at patreon.com/nighttimepodcast. The premium feed costs just a little bit more than a candy bar, but it's much more satisfying than some chocolate and nuts could ever be. First, the premium feed helps fund the creation of the show, so if you enjoy Nighttime, you have the patron subscribers to thank. Secondly, the premium feed is far less annoying. Since it's listener-funded, there's no ads like this or any of the others you've heard. And lastly, but most importantly, the premium feed includes exclusive episodes that you won't find here on the free feed. Shortly after the release of this episode, I'm going to be releasing the two original episodes of Nighttime that tell the story you're hearing now. But if you plan to listen, I'll warn you, those episodes are rough. But I suppose it shows that I've gotten much better at this. So if you're interested in the Nighttime premium feed, visit patreon.com/nighttimepodcast. And as an added bonus, all annual subscribers of the premium feed will receive a free Nighttime welcome swag pack. Again, you can get yours at patreon.com/nighttimepodcast.
Isn't she sweet?
Poor Nanny Teresa.
So scared of the UFO.
Yeah, my God.
But what do you think? Like, you know her. How credible is it to hear her tell it like that?
Very credible.
She was friends with my mom.
So.
Yes, she was. Yeah. I couldn't think of. She worked with your mom, right?
She worked with my mom. Yeah, at the hospital.
Yeah, because yeah, my nanny worked at the hospital. Your mom was a nurse.
Was a nurse. Yeah.
Wow, that's yeah. I remember my nanny always would ask about you because she knew your mom.
Yeah.
And your dad. Your papa knew your dad from the suit store. Papa knew everybody in Sydney who had like a regular job. He's like, oh, that's the guy who does. He's so the cashier at Sobeys. Yeah. But when I think of like if you like with a gun to my head, you're like, name three people who are the most credible people on earth. I'd be like, my grandmother.
Yeah.
Like she would be one. I could never imagine her even telling a joke.
No.
Like that wouldn't even be something she would do. It's she's straight as an arrow. Where Papa is the opposite of that. Papa would be like, you know, if he told me that he went to the grocery store to get milk and he encountered a time traveler, I'd be like, of course you did, Bubba. But having my grandmother there, it changes the context of it completely.
Agreed.
So in Papa's last years, so this was recorded, those two interviews and those episodes were from 2015-ish. Papa's last, it's probably 3 or 4 years on this planet, were preoccupied with UFOs. It was all he wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Was his UFO experience. I would say he'd call me and he would be like, Oak Island, blah blah blah, and then he would say he'd want me to read him emails or messages from anyone who would write me about that episode, and he would say, you hear from anyone about my, you know, about UFOs, and I'd say, oh, like I got an email from someone about your UFO story. It's not a story. He would always correct me. It's not a story. He stood by it.
Yeah.
He, with great pride, at the nursing home, what ended up happening was when you heard him in that interview, he lived at like kind of an assisted living old folks home with my grandmother.
Oh yeah.
Not long after that, he was putting something in the trunk of his car outside of a drugstore. As he was doing that, another car backed out of a parking spot. And we don't know if that car hit him or if Papa got startled and fell. Something happened and it ends with Papa landing on the ground and having a broken hip.
Oh man, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's not what killed him though. What happens when you're like, what I learned is when you're 88, or whatever, or 89 or however old he was, if you like break a bone and you got to lay in bed for 3 weeks to heal, those 3 weeks of laying on your back and not doing your routine and being up and at it, it's like it might as well have been 15 years. And yeah. It was him with a hip. He had to lay in a bed at a hospital for, I don't know, like 6 months or something. And it just killed him. It destroyed him. He went from, he turned into like his ability to like talk was gone.
Yeah.
He just like all of his muscle, like on his body like just went away, because it's just your body, like when you're that old and you're, if you're not using it, it just like dies. And it just, he lost all his strength, his ability to talk was going. Then he couldn't leave the hospital then, and they were waiting to find him, like, not assisted living, but like full nursing home. But the problem was, my grandmother couldn't get in a nursing home because she's still in great shape.
Yeah, still.
You should see my grand, like, well, for people who are listening that haven't seen her, my grandmother's like, again, she's like close to 90. Her skin's younger looking than mine is. And I'm 40. Like, when you, if you put us next to each other, you'd be like, yeah, she has better skin than he does. She's and yeah, to talk to her, she's just so with it. But Papa, we couldn't get a place where they could both live together. So Papa, the place, and then on top of that, the places that would take him had this epic waiting list. It was, you know, you pretty much have to wait till like a couple people die in the nursing home so Papa can take their room, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's just sitting in a hospital bed with like in a room with like two other people. It was just so horrible to go see him like that. But it got to the point very quickly where I would go in and I could tell, like, sometimes I go see him and he'd have no idea who I was.
Sure.
But what I did was I put a bunch of episodes of the podcast on an MP3 player.
Yeah.
And he would just sit there, listen to them over and over again, especially the one about his story. He like loved listening to it. But right until the end, every time I talked to him, he'd ask about it. What are people saying? What's going on in Oak Island? Don't invest. But then finally, like, it's hard to be sad when like a 92-year-old dies.
Yeah.
But he was 92 when he met his end, when he passed. But it's hard to be like sad about someone that old. But he's like a dad to me, I guess. Because we've been so close throughout our lives.
Yeah.
It's really sad. But I'm glad. Like, one thing I love about this story is it was just a really cool experience that like I had with him, like really near the end.
Yeah.
Then he had this thing in his head where he thought I got an award from like a UFO group for this story. So he would often talk about it. But what he was misunderstanding is not long after I released this episode, the Royal Canadian Mint released a coin about the Shag Harbor event. He thought it was, and he must have saw an ad or something, he thought the coin was about was an award about his UFO story for me. So, and again, he's in like a hospital, like, and at the end, so I'm like, yeah, I'm really proud of that award, Buffy. But here's the last kind of update, and this is probably how we'll end this, is I often said, like, I'll never say this while he's alive, but he's passed now, so I'm put it out there, is while I was doing the episode, everything was checking out, but he was off slightly by the day. Let's say he says January 26th. The wake was actually on January 24th, and that didn't change much because the weather was just like he said on January 24th as well. And I was like, ah, he's off by 2 days, but everything else checks out. So, you know, I'm going to give him 2 days because he's you know, talking about something that happened 30 years ago. But that 2 days becomes super important. Where he is, where he sees this, again, is the Highlands of Cape Breton. The sky is very, like, it's very dark there. There's not street lights. So it's the kind of place where you look up, you'll see every star.
Yeah.
Anyway, after I released the second episode with my grandmother, I got an email from somebody who is a hobbyist astronomer from Newfoundland, the province next door to Nova Scotia, or across the pond from Nova Scotia. Yeah. He said, he's like, yeah, I was listening to the episode with your grandparents. I was really, like, you know, interested. So I went through my archives to see if I could find anything through that day. And he's like, I found something that I think, you know, you may want to see. And he sent me like a little snippet from, it wasn't like a newspaper or anything. It was some kind of like astronomical, astrological kind of newsletter where people would like document like comets and shooting stars and, you know, where they're seen and how long they were lit up for. And he said, he's like, there is a little known comet that passed over Newfoundland on the 24th, which is like the day Papa said. He's like, I don't know if it's connected to your granddad, but because your granddad's like thing was 2 days later. But here's some information on that comet. You may want to look into it. And I didn't say on the original episode that Papa was off by 2 days. So when I saw this, I was like, oh shit, like this is, you know, something in the sky, at least above Newfoundland, that's yeah. noteworthy on the night Papa said he saw it. Then when I started looking at this particular comet, it's called Howley's Comet, H-O-W-L-I-E-S Comet. Mm-hmm. Not to be like confused with like Halley's Comet, which is like a more known. This is like Howley's, different comet. When I started looking into its path and where it was seen, it traveled directly over the part of Cape Breton.
Monroe's
Point. That, yeah, it would have like the line you would draw, like where it would be most visible. It was right over that area. It went across the sky, across over Cape Breton, over the Atlantic Ocean, over Newfoundland. And it would have been most, I guess the way the path went, it would have been like seen well where Papa was in that area. And then in certain parts of Newfoundland.
Right.
But when I saw that, when I looked at the time the comet occurred, it was right when Papa said this fireball happened. So I was, or what, this UFO or whatever happened. So I was like, I'm not mentioning this to my papa. He will like, that would be a betrayal if I say, if I said that to him.
Right.
So, but I kind of like, I kept looking into it like, yeah, but what about all the other kind of parts of the story he mentioned? Oh, and I should say as well, he describes the thing going over him, over the water, lighting up Englishtown. That's the path that this comet took.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's like, I think that alone is pretty big. But yeah. Then Papa always said, it went above my car and it stalled my engine. And he's like, and I had a new, like, it wasn't an old car, that never happened before. It was a good car. When I look at Monroe's Point, it's at a part of the road where you're driving up a hill. And often, like, I don't know a lot about cars, but what people have said is that you're way more likely to stall going up a hill.
Yeah.
Especially if you like lay off on the gas.
Sure.
So what I suspect could have happened is Papa driving up a hill, really like putting a lot of pressure on the engine by driving up a hill.
Right.
And as a comet passes, maybe he loosens up on the gas and the car just stalls.
Yeah. And it's the winter time too, right? There could have been icy or it could have
January. You know, yeah. Yeah. But it's like
the motor or the engine or
something. January in the highlands of Cape Breton, it's going to be damn cold.
Yes. Yeah, very.
But and he's right on the water there. Yeah. It's like, so I'm not saying that's what it was. I mentioned that to my uncle, who was really interested in the story. My uncle doesn't think that's what it is, but I think like if you're choosing between intelligently controlled or powered object in the sky or the comet that traveled across the sky like that night, yeah, it's, I don't know. It's whatever it was, whether it was the comet or something else, it left a huge impact on my grandparents, both in terms of like Papa Eddie, like he lived his life thinking he saw aliens. My grandmother to this day is still upset and agitated by the story. So I think it's that meaningful, yeah. Whatever it is. I wouldn't have brought up the Howley's Comet with Papa alive, because I know he wouldn't. I wouldn't even want to tell him that, because that's a little deflating. But
yeah,
that's kind of how what came of it in the end.
Yeah, it was a comet.
Damn.
Is that what you think?
I hope not. Probably.
You want it to be aliens?
Yeah. No, I'd like to think it was an alien starship that passed over Papa Eddie's Studebaker or whatever the heck he was driving.
He always had nice cars.
Yeah.
Full of radios and stuff.
Full of radios, yeah. And it just, yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice story though. And
yeah,
I wish if he was alive, I would open up like the call-in lines and I'm sure he would call in and tell us exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
he would.
I'm trying to think of what else. Only other things that are notable is like I was trying to figure out, Papa had told me that when he was reporting at the places, he got a call from an astronomer at an astronomy professor at a university. And he's like, he's the only guy who took me seriously. And I kept saying like, what's the guy's name, Puppy? What university? I was dying to find this guy. Cause it seemed like Papa got a couple calls back and forth with this guy. And sure. And it was this guy who said, it's a fireball. I had never heard of a fireball, but I asked Don Ledger, the UFO guy that had come over.
Yeah.
And a fireball is like another name for a comet.
Sure.
Which, is again what kind of like it pointed to for me. So I think they may have been right.
Oh yeah.
Maybe that guy knew about Halley's Comet.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, yeah, but anyway, I'm glad you talked this one out with me because I've been like that episode's been off the feed forever.
Yeah.
And I wanted to like bring that story back, so I think this was the way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great episode.
Well, Randy, cheers to that.
Cheers, man.
I want to thank you for joining Randy and I in our discussion surrounding my grandparents' UFO sighting. It probably goes without saying, but my grandparents are really important to me. And perhaps this episode will serve as a reminder for those of you fortunate enough to have your grandparents still with us to connect or reconnect with them. They and their stories aren't always there for us. And with that, I'll wrap up this episode of Nighttime, but before we part, I'm going to give some thanks. A big thank you to Randy, again, for spending his evening with me and with the listeners of Nighttime. A big thank you to Monty Data for contributing the music in this episode. It's a piece called Noir Tokyo. And lastly, a massive thank you to everyone who listens, as without your support, Nighttime would be as pointless as it would be impossible. But with that said, keeping the show alive is and has always been an uphill battle. So if you want to help take a bit of weight off the show's back, please listen on the premium feed. And with that said, let me thank the newest supporters of the show. Ursula, Aaron, Sarah, and Ross, thank you for your generous support. And for anyone else who'd like to support the show but can't do it financially, you can give me a big hand by simply sharing the episodes on social media and letting like-minded friends know what we're doing here. If you want to give me some story ideas or some feedback on the show, you can get me at nighttimepodcast.com/contact or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or of course on the Nighttime Podcast YouTube channel. So until next time, take care of each other, hug your loved ones tight, and let me know if you see anything weird.
The Nighttime Podcast is written, hosted, and produced by Jordan Bonaparte. Copyright Jordan Bonaparte.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.